demonstration of how to complete a task. So far, the Israelites had to enter the land, then take the land and possess the land. And these are the Lord's commands to Moses, to Joshua, and to the people of Israel. Now just look down at verses 1 to 5 to begin with. We'll look very briefly at this. Verses 3 and 4 explain why only 9.5 tribes received portions of land in Canaan, while 2.5 tribes received portions east of the Jordan. And the tribe of Levi would not receive a portion as such, but only cities to live in. Plus the tribe of Joshua, which constituted two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim by name, and that in all makes 12 tribes, i.e. 2.5 east of Jordan and 9.5 west of Jordan. And that's what it's about. And we've read that chapter together. So we can move on. Let's have a look at verses 7 and 8. We can see the display of faith. The story referred to is the one we read together at more length in Numbers 13, and there's a bit more of it in chapter 14. Moses sent spies out in the promised land to see what it was like in as many aspects as possible. The spies came back and reported that it was a very dangerous place with giants in that will destroy us. Despite the fact that they brought some lovely grapes back home. But that is all the spies reported in that way, except Caleb and Joshua, who were two of the spies out of them. There were 12 spies sent, the other two. Caleb and Joshua reported that in a different way than the other 10 had reported. And they said they would be fine to go against these people. And they gave, as I say, an opposite report. They went against the flow. And the majority report caused people's hearts to melt or sink. And this was very uncomfortable for Caleb. And it's very dangerous place to be as well. For it nearly caused them to lose their lives. Stand up against these other spies. Because what was going to happen was if Moses had said that Caleb and Joshua were right, they might well have been killed. But as it was, they weren't. But that was a danger, a great danger. And it's a very dangerous place to be as well when you want to stand against a group. And St. Paul knew the same kind of experience when he wrote to Timothy. He says in his letter, and you can read it in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 and 17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. He said, everyone has deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And God's people are often called to speak out against the common consensus and live according to God's word and not as the world lives. And it doesn't always make one very popular. All through this chapter, Caleb exhibits the mark of faith. Chapter 14, verse 6, says this. The people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? And I was 40 years old, he says, and then he goes on to tell what happened. Verse 10, he says, halfway through it in the second half of the verse. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. And then in verse 12, it says this. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. And if we go back to verse 9 of the same chapter, so on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Not half a job, a whole job. So, Caleb was displaying certainly the mark of faith. And the mark of faith is built upon the word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. True faith is built on nothing less than the living God and his word brought to us by the life-giving Holy Spirit. Biblical faith acts upon the word of God. The word of God is the spiritual food for the soul. Not many of us look half-starved physically, but how often do we partake of God's word? Are we spiritually starved? That is the question. The third thing I want to talk about is the engender of faith. Just have a look at verses 10 and 11. This is the way of biblical faith. The way of biblical faith. Now then, it says in verse 10, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he sent this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. This is the way of biblical. Of biblical faith. It remembers what Yahweh has done, and remembers with gratitude. And we see Caleb building to his punchline when he gets down to verse 12, as he remembers Yahweh's goodness in the past. Yahweh's kept him alive for the last 45 years. And that wasn't quite as easy as it might sound, because that was through years of war and wilderness. And Yahweh was still providing strength and stamina, old as he was. And we see here just how faith is supposed to work. Faith is always not, as we're looking forward, just, but looking backwards, dragging it into the present, dragging what happened from the past with God into the presence, pondering it, praising for it, and going from strength to strength, because what happened in the past, how God came to us in the past, and what he's done for us in the past, if it isn't strengthening us with the present, we're in trouble. Or maybe we never had God doing anything for us in the past, which is a terrible thought. But that's how faith works, and that's what's happening here with Caleb. He's looking back. God has been faithful to me all these years in so many ways. That's why I can go forward. Because I know God has been faithful in the past. And you remember when, perhaps you remember that last time we spoke about Spurgeon. Spurgeon was wanting to speak with God every 15 minutes of the day. Every 15 minutes. That was his aim, to speak with God, to say something to God every 15 minutes of the day. Because God is after a relationship with us. It's not simply how many good deeds. In one sense, he's not half as interested in what we do for him as his relationship with us. And if we don't want to speak with him, if we don't want to read his word, basically we're spiritually dead. We don't want to do those things, because those are the things that keep Christians going. They're the life and breath of a believer. And Caleb is into it, big time. And he's going out fighting, big time, when he's so old, when he's 85. And I'm thinking of retiring at 75. So, I mean, I'm well off the mark, am I? Caleb was going from strength to strength. Looking at God's goodness, he was responding in gratitude, and he's waiting for God to call him the next time and to go with him on the next venture. The agenda of faith. Then there's the power of faith, and this is the last thing I'm going to speak about. If you look at chapter 14, verse 12. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Now, I hope you're all aware of the definition, because here we're seeing the power of faith. I hope you're all well aware of one of the definitions of faith. Spelling faith, F-A-I-T-H, of course. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Yahweh, our Lord God, is the driving force of our faith. He's the real power behind biblical faith. Chapter 14 gets to the center of Caleb's request. The Anakim were the largest tribe in the land. They were giants. But that was not going to be a problem for Caleb, because he was a man who went to the gym. Not the gym down the road with weights and machines and all that sort of thing. He went to the spiritual gym often. And a man with a living faith, a man with a relationship with God. Now, this task before Caleb, believe me, was no pushover. It was challenging, to say the least. It was like us lot trying to take on one of the taking on the French scrum that you may have seen on television yesterday. They're giants. I mean, if they walked over you, they'd hardly notice. And me. They are big boys. And the Anakim were big. They were very powerful, very big men. And a worldly heart would look at that and say, not on your life. We're not doing that. But Caleb had God's heart. He had a heart that was fueled by God. And Caleb was able to move forward. And here in Joshua 14, it is, if Caleb is saying to Joshua, as his conversation progresses, You remember, you were with me, we went out together. You remember the complaints we heard back in the day, you know, all those years ago, when the other 10 spies brought their report about large fortified cities and large swaggering Anakim. And all these other spies could say, was we can't do this. And these are God's chosen people, God help us. These are the Jews of God, the Israelites, God's chosen people. And what do they say? Having been brought out of Egypt, having wandered in the wilderness, having crossed the Jordan, they say, what they're saying is, our God is so small, we can't do it. Yet for Caleb, the sheer difficulty of the charge, of the task, was a challenge he wanted to take on. It wasn't that Caleb was an optimist, whilst the other has been realist, but because Caleb was a believer, whereas the Israelites refused to be believers. God's people could be no better than anyone else when they refuse to follow the Lord, and Scripture has plenty of examples of that. Caleb was well aware that possessing this part of the promised land had not been completed yet. The job had not been finished. And it almost reminded me, when I was just thinking about that yesterday, it came across to me. if I might use David as an illustration, David being, I've just got this imagination, David being at work, and as usual, he's got quite a difficult job to fix. Something's broken down. It's his. He's on site then, and lo and behold, it falls in his pocket. So, and he's going on holiday tomorrow for a couple of weeks. So this is his last job before he goes on holiday, and it looks terrible. And he gets down to work, and he does everything he can, and miracle of miracles, he gets the thing to work. Anyhow, he's late off his shift, and the other chap comes on, and he says to the other chap, he said, listen, I'm going away for 2 weeks. Oh, I haven't had time to finish this. He said, will you check over everything? Every nut and screw needs checking, it's in place. Just check it through. You know what to do as well as I do. I've got it working. It was a terrible thing because such and such and such and such had failed, and we've done all this and we got that working, but I need you to check it over. I'm going on a holiday. You will do that, won't you? And the chap says, yes, I'll do that. Lo and behold, David comes back 2 weeks later expecting to see all things. And it's broken down again. It's broken down again because the chap didn't do it. He managed to forget about it or couldn't be bothered or whatever, but he didn't do it. And David walks back in, smiling to everybody, and he sees this thing and just puts his head in his hands. How do we get to this thing? And that will be just the case here. But Caleb realized that this job had to be done. That this instruction from the Lord had not been followed. But Caleb was well aware that possessing the part of the promised land that had been left, that he needed God's help to complete it. And as it says in chapter 14, verse 14, Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord being my helper, it says during this. If the Lord comes to help me, we've got to go. I'm sure he will. He wanted the job done. He'll come and help me. Basically what Caleb is saying. It's a model of faith for us here, where we see the initiative of faith, which is contrasted against the whole question of fear and the hesitancy of fear taking over. When we get to chapter 17, we'll see that, the whole contrast in the book of Joshua, where Caleb's faith is so strong because he's looked back to the times past where God has helped him so much. And he can be there for the present. And when we get to chapter 17, we'll see what fear does and how people are so hesitant, as they were. And that's why the job was not done, because they were afraid, because they thought that their God wasn't good enough, wasn't big enough, couldn't manage exactly. That the holy, almighty, powerful, wonderful God couldn't do the job. That's where Israel were. This is the promised people, and they thought that God couldn't do the job. Fear is crippling to all God's people, to us as well. But faith and forsaking all, I trust him. That is the way forward in our lives as well as the lives of the Israelites. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your willingness to be with us all through our lives. Help us to keep inviting you in. Help us to keep wanting you. Put that desire in our hearts that we might walk with you and talk with you along life's narrow way. We ask in Christ's name.